This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good afternoon, Alyssa. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good to be with you. I'm sitting on Dixon Street at the Dixon Street Bookstore, which is a cool little spot if you've never been over here. But we're going to meet the women's basketball team staff for a lunch at JJ's. So looking forward to that.
The bookstore is one of my favorite places in the entire state of Arkansas. I like to just walk around and get lost there and then like just kind of like play a game, randomly pick out whatever book I stop at, and if it's English, maybe read it.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome, and you can get lost in here very easily. I like to get books, but their display right now is like old toys, and they've got this like this sorry game that they have in their display must be at least like 50 years old. Really cool kind of stuff. You never know what you can find at this place.
Looks like your Dolphins are getting a little bit active in free agency. Shaquille Barrett is signing with them on a $9 million deal worth 1 year. And a linebacker in there. What else do the Dolphins need?
He's got a little speed on him. I like him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm still kind of in mourning because I really wanted the Dolphins to keep Christian Wilkinson. So that was kind of tough, but I don't question Mike McDaniel. I know he's got a vision for the future, and so you know, I try not to get too high or too low. But I really think that they just need some defensive depth. That was the biggest thing, especially in the secondary last year when they had so many guys go down. The guys who stepped in played really well, but you need some depth there in that secondary. And so I think that they're going to go hard there. You would hope so in the draft and in free agency.
Hey, Alyssa, were you ever around Brandon Allen? He's an Arkansan that re-signed there in San Francisco, I believe. But man, he's just had that I call it the Chase Daniels career.
Yeah, you know, my first year here in 2013 was Brandon's first year as a starter, and so got to cover him in college. And then before he moved, I think his family relocated to Florida, but they lived in our neighborhood, so met him and his wife Sarah and got to know them and great people. And then obviously with Brandon, you just have to be really, have a lot of respect for what he's been able to do. And right, you know, like being a backup in the NFL is not the easiest job, and you're going to bounce from place to place. And you've seen that, but he seems to have a home right now in San Francisco, but he just keeps his head down and he grinds. And I remember when he was with the Bengals, he made a comment about, I'm here to help Joe Burrow grow and teach him and be whatever I need to be for him. And that's the attitude he's had in this league, and it's made him successful, and it's made a career out of it. So you're happy to see that.
Let me ask you about backup at Arkansas as we talk in spring ball about the supposed, you know, QB1 battle in which right now, I mean, it seems like Taylen Green is getting most of the snaps from everything I read. You know, we've talked with Mike Irwin about it. Malachi Singleton's is it more of a competition for QB2 than it is for QB1?
I think so. You know, I don't want to discredit any of those guys because they're all working hard to earn that spot. But I think with the way that things are going, it's pretty much Taylen Green's job to lose. However, you look at that number two spot and it's really intriguing. And I know Mike has said this to you guys because he said it yesterday on Ask Mike as well. But like, what is the strategy there with Malachi Singleton and with Jacoby Criswell? We know that KJ Jackson is the future. They've said that. So he is over there just growing and developing, and he looks good as a true freshman. But these two guys, what does that look like? With Malachi being a redshirt freshman, what is his trajectory? And then really, this is kind of a defining moment for Jacoby Criswell in his college career. And so I'm very interested to see what happens there, whether, you know, if you're a coach, for example, are you, what is happening? This car is pulling onto the sidewalk. Okay.
It's Dixon's Dupree.
Grand Theft Auto over
it's
here.
Dixon's, this is just typical Dixon.
I literally was like, this is not a road, but.
Is it 12:21 in the afternoon or the morning on Dixon Street right now?
I don't know. It's okay. It's fine. So it just got me distracted. But I really am just curious to see what this means for both of those guys' future because, you know, are you maybe telling Malachi that he's got a little bit more of a feature and we're getting more reps with the number twos and then that's making Jacoby Criswell have to make a big decision. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how that all plays out.
Hey, Alyssa, how are you this year? I know Coach Pittman said they're going to be more physical. They're going to have some more live action. They're going to hit and tackle a little more. Have you heard anything if the quarterbacks will be live when they're out there?
You know, I don't. I feel like they're probably still going to have some green jerseys on to protect those guys. I don't know how much live tackling we're going to get with them outside of the spring game, but that's a really interesting thing to keep a note on. But you're seeing more 7-on-7. Like, that's all they did when Mike and I went on Thursday, is to continue to keep that development with those QBs and this new offense. And so you can definitely see a different plan with Sam Pittman and the way that this spring has gone compared to the springs in the past. But yeah, I'm keeping an eye on that because I'd be curious to see. That's always the hardest thing, is to really truly see what a guy can do when, you know, you can't try to tackle him and he's not trying to, you know, break tackles or make things happen or scramble and things like that. So.
And I kind of bring that up because for the second and third string, you're talking about for QB2, you want some live action tight. And I don't mean you hurt somebody, but they have to kind of see the bullets flying a little bit.
Exactly. And that's something that I think Jacoby Criswell has a little bit of an upper hand with, mm-hmm. because he has played more football. And so he can read things maybe better because of that experience. But then you also want to see, we really haven't seen what Malachi Singleton brings to the table. And so you really have to judge them on exactly what they would do in those real game time decisions. And that'll be interesting.
What's your view on Arkansas and Vanderbilt tomorrow? Can't lose to Vandy two times in a year, because the second time is going to end your season for you. And you can forget about any NIT if anybody wants that.
Yeah, you know, obviously Vandy has beat them three times in a row if you go back to last year. And it's one of those things where you used to be expected to beat Vandy because you did all the time. And then, you know, despite the fact that Jerry Stackhouse has had some struggles with Vandy, he finds a way to beat you. And so how do you combat that? And they're playing really well down the stretch. And so you'd hope to see that. And if they can, you know, play the way they did and almost beat Alabama, probably should have beaten Alabama. And that's another thing for another day. That team can beat Vandy. They can't beat themselves. You can't have the lead that you did and let it go and let them beat you like you let them do at Bud Walton Arena last month. And so, you know, they understand that if they want to keep playing basketball, they have to win. And hopefully that's motivation enough for them to continue to play the way that they've played and not resort to all of those bad habits we've seen all year.
All right, I know you're going to visit with the women's coaching staff here, and it's been a little less than a week since their one game in the SEC tournament. You know, I mean, and Sunday coming up, you know, they're not going to get a bed to the NCAA. There are two other tournaments. You know, I wonder what's going on right now, you know, with the program. You know, I know the coaches are really out recruiting and right at this moment trying to get everybody healthy and rested, but it is kind of a very interesting sort of like interlude between the end of the conference tournament and a potential bid to some postseason tournament.
Yeah, you know, you're juggling all of that, juggling what this team is going to look like, could look like next year. Also, you know, who can you keep? Who can you go get? And we know that that's a lot harder these days with NIL and the transfer portal, and you just don't know what's going to happen. Things are going to blindside you, just like Jersey Wolfenbarger did at the beginning of the season. But then you also have to be like, look, we still have more basketball we can play, and hopefully we can find some success. I am so intrigued by this WBIT that the NCAA has created. And then you still have the WNIT, which is completely separate in its own right, in a private tournament that will continue to bring it. So I'm curious to see where their path leads, at which one. But we know they're going to play one, so we know we have more basketball left. But if you're them, you just want to end the season on, you know, have a good taste in your mouth because you've lost five straight now. So how do you bounce back from that, having this break, getting rested, getting healthier, not fully healthy, but healthier, and then what does that next season look like? And I think the biggest question all of us have with the rest of the season, with next year, is Talia Scott and what the future for Talia Scott looks like.
Yeah, and which, I mean, it's everything. There's been no details whatsoever. And I don't know if there will be any. It's just that has been one of the more mysterious situations that I've seen with any of the programs that I've been a part of.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because again, you don't want to jump to conclusions. You don't want to point fingers or just assume things. But you always, you know, there are two ways to go. You know, something is it's serious and she's at home with her family and she'll be back. Is it NIL, transfer portal related? I mean, there are so many things that are circling out there that you really don't even know which direction you want to turn. But you also have questions about, well, okay, could she have been with the team through this run, you know, and been there on the bench for support? Or, you know, is there something else, again, that we're not knowing about and learning about and that maybe will come out in the years to come? It just, you hate it because your brain, as human nature, goes 100 different directions in 100 different ways, good or bad. And that's almost worse than the reality, right?
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Well, here's a free agent signing for you. Derrick Henry, this is great because it's according to sources of Adam Schefter, which can sometimes be a journalist. Derrick Henry is signing with the Ravens. 2 years, $16 million. Incentives could take it up to $20 million. So you'll have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson in the same backfield.
Is that the number one? Well, it's two-time league MVP, Lamar Jackson, but
and an offensive player of the year.
Derrick Henry was right. Wasn't Baltimore the number one rushing offense in the game last year? And then they get to the playoffs and get blitzed a little bit and forget how to run the ball. It was like, what's going on? That defense. They're a year older, but if that defense is still is first class, what a stud. Is Derrick Henry, he's a top five running back in the league right now. Like Christian McCaffrey's one. Derrick Henry has to be about three or four.
He ran for 4.2 yards per carry last year. Fewest carries he'd had in a long time, but he's probably a better option than Justice Hill, than Gus Edwards, than Keaton Mitchell. And you don't have to give now. You don't have to give him the ball 350 times a year.
Yeah, you got James Cook. He's another guy. Joe Mixon. He's a guy that just went somewhere on the trade deadline. Yeah, man, he is. Derrick Henry's the same. He's 1A, 1B right there. He's as good as anybody that's in the game right now.
It really is a frenzy when you talk about this. And there's such a – you realize, like, there are Major League Baseball players that are called – that are using – that are accusing the owners of collusion. I think without using the word, without saying it, they're using that word. Because you still have a lot of players that haven't signed a contract that are free agents that have been good. Saw where Ryan Stanek recently signed with Seattle, but he signed a month into, well, I guess not a month, maybe like 3 weeks into spring training. That's crazy. The first day, I mean, tomorrow's the first day of real free agency. And it really is a frenzy. I don't know if I'd say that there's any collusion with the owners, although, hey, I think running backs have sort of tried to intimate the same thing, that there's some sort of collusion against the position specifically, and they're not paid what their value is.
Yeah, with the Texans getting Mixon, it's the one that you're seeing is Justin Fields from Chicago. He was the top of mind name, what, a week ago? Like, that's everybody was talking about, where's Fields going to go? Chicago, they're taking Caleb Williams. Now that I don't know if they want too much, but they're not really, where is he going to go with all these other quarterbacks taking up spots? You know, Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Fields isn't going to Atlanta. Russell Wilson just went to Pittsburgh. The spots start to close up, and he could be a Bear next year. You could have a real quarterback battle.
Where's Denver selecting in the draft?
12th, I think. Okay. I think that's where, when we looked it up.
That's a quarterback that they'll be taking then, right? I don't know who the backup was there. At Denver.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you.
But I would imagine if you're getting rid of the guy that you supposedly traded for and they're paying him like $36 million or whatever it is to not play, then you're probably going to look for a quarterback.
Sam Darnold going to the Minnesota Vikings. Marcus Mariota going to the Commanders.
There's a backup job open in Philly then.
Gardner Minshew just signed somewhere too. So that's when you're starting to look where Justin Fields is going to go. I mean, they're kind of closing up. And you just said Jameis Winston went to the Browns. You know, they got Deshaun Watson. He's still on that rookie deal, so I think he'll get picked up. But he might be competing, or he might be.
Who did Minshew sign with?
Man, that's what
the Raiders? Did I see? It's the Raiders, I think.
I saw that clip earlier today, that same when they were doing who's the running back that's rushed for 1,000 yards for two different teams in the NFC East. I heard it on that before I made it to the punchline.
Did we ever find the answer?
I never.
I didn't know
the interweb started scrubbing.
That kind of happens sometimes. Yeah. We didn't need to scrub. We didn't need to scratch our back. Minshew is like the epitome of the early career journeyman. So you're looking back with journeyman, mm-hmm. with Kirk Cousins. It's not a journeyman because he's a starter for three different franchises. He's playing multiple years for each of them. Although we'll see what happens near the end of his career.
Like five teams in 7 years. That's the journeyman, right?
Well, at least. So here's one for you.
Three teams in 5 years.
Jim McMahon. We always remember McMahon with the Bears in the 86 World, 86 or 85 championship, 86 Super Bowl. Seven seasons with the Bears. And then after that, he plays for the Chargers, the Eagles, the Vikings, Cardinals, Browns, Packers. None of them for any more than 3 years. That's a journeyman. Kyle Orton was a journeyman. JT O'Sullivan was a journeyman. Vinny T was a journeyman. So was Trent Dilfer at the end of his career. I mean, Dilfer played for Baltimore, Seattle, Cleveland, and San Francisco all over the last 7 years of his career. Gardner Minshew has started his career as a journeyman. 2 years in Jacksonville, two with Philly, one with Indy, now Vegas.
Hey, man, that's getting it done. Good for him to see go out there to Vegas. And is Antonio Pierce the guy still out there?
He's
and
the coach, yeah.
I don't know if Jimmy G, to me, he had one more stop, and then if he got hurt, then I can't do it anymore. I mean, every season he's getting hurt, so you know you're kind of behind it. You can't pay him that type of money if he can't stay healthy. So I wonder who that might be a real quarterback battle in. But then also, you have Gardner Minshew there because you're going to draft a rookie who's better than, you know, he's there with them. It's kind of like the Brandon Allen effect.
But he hasn't been bad when he's had an opportunity to play, I think. 59 touchdowns, 24 interceptions in his career. I mean, he's had a couple of seasons where he's been forced into a role to start. and he's played well. I mean, this last year with Indianapolis, he wasn't terrible.
And it tells you something, too. You said he was in Jacksonville and then went to Indy. So the teams that have the most film on you are the teams in your division. So, you know, they got to prepare for you and play you more. And so, it tells you they stays in that division. It's pretty cool.
He leaves Jacksonville. That was the – yeah, he was with Jacksonville before they drafted Trevor Lawrence. Backup Hurts at Philly for a couple years. And then who was Indianapolis starting last year? Was it the kid from Florida, Richardson?
Anthony Richardson
yeah,
was
he got
the
hurt.
Guy. Right? Go figure, a quarterback that doesn't have any reps is going to get hurt. You know, it's like you got to have reps. You got to see where the blitz is coming. You got to see what's going on.
Well, that goes to what you're saying about competing for the backup job even at spring ball.
Man, David Lee, one of the things, you know, my freshman year and sophomore, if you weren't the starting quarterback, you were live at scrimmage. You know, the starting quarterback, you've proved it, you've done it. But if you're battling for that, you got to see how they react. Now, you're not trying to get anybody hurt in any way, but you got to see how they react when the play breaks down and they take off. If they can take off, first of all, do they protect the ball? You know, you got to see how quick you're trying to see how they can play. But I'm a big fan of having live scrimmages in spring ball.
Well, and so often the backups have to go into the game just in a moment's notice. I mean, you just don't have that much time to prepare, throw the ball 3 or 4 times and head in there and just be ready for game speed. I mean, that's what you're talking about. How can you be ready for game speed, for real game speed, if you haven't practiced in game speed?
That's right. That's right. You can do drills and do that. And that's the beauty of NFL. You get a little preseason, and once you've done it, you've done it. But the kids that you're going from high school to college, you want them to get hit once or twice before they get out there.
Who was it here? Brandon asks, is Ryan Fitzpatrick the ultimate journeyman? Yeah, probably so. He played for 9 NFL franchises. That's as many absences as Ferris Bueller had. 9 NFL franchises. St. Louis, when they still had a team. Cincinnati, Buffalo, Tennessee, Houston, Jets, Tampa, Miami, Washington. And did it with a sense of humor, too.
He is a journeyman because everywhere he went, he definitely started games and was getting to play and doing things. I think of, you know, Chad Pennington might have went around. You know, Vinny Testaverde late in his career pulled a Joe Flacco. Gus Frerotte might have been on a handful of teams. Oscar De La Homie, Jake De La Home.
I'll always chuckle anytime you call him that. That certainly works for me. Fitzpatrick's got... Like, I think of, so the word journeyman, I always think of, that's a baseball term. You know, a lot of pitchers turn into journeymen. Gaylord Perry was a journeyman. I'll never forget when I saw him pitch in an old-timers game with 8 different logos on his jersey. I think he might have pitched for more than 8 teams. It's always the guys who throw the ball, though. I mean, you know, they're just the ones that get most of the attention.
Yeah, I think of basketball players first with a journeyman. You know, that first San Antonio Spurs NBA championship team with Tim Duncan and David Robinson, Charlie Ward was a journeyman, and he was the last player on the bench, number 17. But
was that the kind of NBA career he had?
Well, no,
he
was a starter for the Knicks for a few years. But then late in the career, like some of these guards, when they get kind of late in their career, you get traded. And he was Charlie Ward was a great locker room guy. And so that's what Pop had told him.
Yeah, Charlie Ward. Yeah, he did finish. You're right. Yeah, that last year with San Antonio. He was mostly with the Knicks throughout his career, too.
I also think about Adrian Peterson. Like, he was on the Vikings for a while, obviously, but then after he left the Vikings, it seemed like he just wasn't on the same team for more than 2 years. I'm looking at
no one's ever going to sign a running back at that age to more than year.
He kept playing. Like, he wasn't like great, but I'm looking at it, New Orleans, Arizona, Washington, Detroit, Tennessee, and Seattle after he left Minnesota.
Yeah, that would be that's a Hall of Fame career, too, that ends in that way. It's the same with Gaylord Perry, although he kind of, I think, what was with most of his career, like the Giants, maybe a little bit of the Mariners, and then at the end, it was the same with like Negro. You forget guys like Seaver pitched for Boston and the Chicago White Sox at the end of their careers. You know, they're hanging on. In some cases, they were hanging on to get that 300th victory.
What about Verlander? You know, is that kind of at the end of his career? You know, when he left, was it Minnesota that he left?
And no, who? Because he got to Texas last year. Remember, he and Scherzer both were with the Mets.
But the year before, he was with the Astros, right?
Yeah,
and kind of just. But and was he a twin?
He came from Detroit.
Detroit, bam, bam, bam. So there's four or five teams, but late in his career, yeah.
Well, let's hit the break, and we'll wrap up hour number two in just a moment here. 877-377-6963 to get with us on Halftime. That's the McLarty Daniel Hotline. There's a great deal at any of McLarty Daniel's six locations. You'll find them in Northwest Arkansas, Springdale, and Bentonville. And easy online at McLartyDaniel.com. Arkansas baseball tonight, 6 o'clock, first pitch. It's our first home night game of the year. Should be a really nice night for baseball. And we'll get on the air at 5:30 on many of these ESPN Arkansas affiliates. The big tuna, Colin Fisher, will be pitching for the Hogs. Oral Roberts did not announce a starting pitcher. And then on Friday, back to night baseball as Mizzou comes into town. And it's nice to know that it's daylight savings time for night baseball.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99, Proper 12 Apple for $29.99, Single Malt for $38.99, Blended for $28.99, Jameson Orange 750 milliliters for $25.99, and for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
Nashville, where the Razorbacks will be starting and maybe finishing their postseason run tomorrow. You can't use the word run if it's just a game. I think you can't even use the word run unless there's three games involved in it, because two steps is walking. Make the third step part of a run, so I can't use that term. 6 o'clock tip-off tomorrow, 5:30 when they get that thing going for the courtside show at Bridgestone Arena, which is the future home of the SEC Men's Basketball Championship until at least 2030, with an option to extend until 2035. I'm all right with this thing being in Nashville as long as it is. Because one of the fun things to be about this, at some point, maybe hopefully they'll figure out the traffic issue there and all the construction. You'll get to see the progress of the construction of this new football stadium they're building for the Titans, and presumably for maybe an SEC championship game, maybe a college football playoff game or semifinal or a Super Bowl at some point. By the time you get to 2035, I'll bet you'll have the Super Bowl in Nashville 1 year, and then the next year or the next 1 month, the next month you'll have the SEC championship. And maybe even have a Final Four, since we hold Final Fours at football stadiums now.
There you go. Maybe even a bachelorette party or two. I heard it's a good city for that.
Yeah. You want to time the bachelorette parties with the basketball championship?
Absolutely. Mm. When else would we go? That's exactly when to go.
First conference road trip I took with baseball was to Nashville during an SEC championship. That would have been my first year, so that was 2015. I think the Hogs went. Did they go to the final that year? I don't know. I think they made it to the final that year and lost to Kentucky. But I remember going out downtown just for something to eat after a game, and you could feel it. I mean, there was just blue everywhere. It was absolutely all over the place. Well, more breaking news as I am being handed a phone here. Marcus Spears is reporting. Patrick Queen signing with the Steelers.
That's your boy.
It's my team. I guess now it is my boy, right?
There we go.
3 years, $41 million. They're coming out fast and furious now, Matt.
It's time. It's time in the NFL. It's the frenzy. You know, we're taking on this Vanderbilt team there, the thing that I noticed in the first game that, you know, Lawrence and Mijon, if I'm saying it right.
Mignon, I think it is.
Yeah, and then Lubin. Lubin was 9 of 10, 12 boards. Couldn't stop him. They had a couple guys that were going. They hit their free throws pretty well. There's not any, you know, we talk about this Arkansas Razorback team when we're playing somebody else and we say, well, how many of our guys could start for another team? There's nobody on Vanderbilt that could start on this Arkansas team. There's no excuses for us losing to this Vanderbilt team. I think they're going to play well. I think that Jerry Stackhouse is a heck of a coach. They played all zone. All zone. You know, and when we're playing all these teams that play man, the Vanderbilt played a lot of zone. So it's going to be a slower paced game, I think. It'll be a little different game. Going to have to shoot the ball well from the outside. This team is yet to win three games in a row in the calendar year. The last time they won three games in a row, it was 2023. So it starts one if you're going to get to three in a row, and yeah, we need five.
Forget about five, right? Just worry about one.
Start with that first four-minute timeout.
Battle and Ellis combined to go 7 for 16 from the three-point line in that game. The rest of the team was 3 for 14.
That's when Battle kind of got it going, I mm-hmm. think. It's when he started doing
it. Was that the first game of the stretch?
It's either the first or the second.
He had 36 points in that game. And outside of that.
No, because Missouri had 42 right. before, yeah.
Yeah. 36 against we'll go back and look at this stretch that he's had recently because it has been amazing. I mean, I guess you would assume now you just got to pencil him in. Heck, put it in Sharpie, at least double-digit free throws.
Hey, Mitchell didn't play his best game that game as well. Ellis, he played good. Here's what I'll say. If Brazil, our NBA guy, will do what he's supposed to, our guards keep playing well, and we can get tournament Devo. We ain't even talked about tourney Devo. Every time a tournament comes around, who steps their game up the most? Devo Davis. It's what he does. You have to think if tourney Devo gets going, he could be the glue, the key to get it going.
No, I keep thinking about the idea and even the way that you put it. We're almost like hoping that you're flipping a switch and that some of the things that have made this team so inconsistent just, you know, change a little bit. But right now the body of work speaks for itself. They're playing well and losing to good teams. You win this game, you get a good team. South Carolina. You win, you find a way to upset them, you play a better team in Auburn. You realize how well this Razorback team has to play in order to pull that off. They've got to play better than they did against Kentucky. Well, I understand it's on a neutral floor and everything. But you're stringing these days together. There's a reason why it's so difficult to win five games in a row. Part of it is you're not as good as the teams that are in front of you and have byes. The other reason is they're fresher than you are.
No, that's right. And if you get past this Vandy team, like you said, South Carolina is the ultimate team. You know, they don't have a lot of superstars, but they play together as a team. And this last 5-6 game, the stretch, we have been playing better as a team. Davenport and Ellis have been. Ellis was playing good the last time we played Vandy. Davenport didn't play as well. But if you can get Brazil back, Davenport, I think, has been playing the best basketball he's been playing all year, the last handful of games. Mekhi Mitchell as well. So for whatever you want to say, though, the inconsistency in the record, I do think the team is playing about as good as they've been playing. So they are playing their best basketball right now.
Got a few tournament finals that are on the docket for tonight. Got the Colonial. Well, I don't think they call it the Colonial anymore. It's just the CAA. Stony Brook and Charleston. That's in D.C. The Horizon League Championship in Indianapolis tonight. Milwaukee and Oakland. The Northeast Conference Championship. Wagner and Merrimack. And here's a good one. West Coast Conference. Now, this is not a one-bid league. Both Gonzaga and St. Mary's are in, and they'll be playing for that conference championship. Summit League is playing their final today, Denver and South Dakota State. And you already have some bids that have been spoken for. Here they are. Moorhead State gets the automatic bid out of the Ohio Valley. Longwood Lancers are coming out of the Big South. The Drake Bulldogs from the MVC. Stetson won the A-Sun. James Madison continuing the greatest year in James Madison athletics history. Out of the Sun Belt, Samford is coming out of the Southern League. You like watching just I haven't watched any of these teams, but it's kind of fun to watch championship. I might not even watch. Well, I can't because I got a baseball game at 6. But it kind of would be cool just to watch the last 5 minutes of some of these games when they're tight. The emotion really is amazing.
Yeah, if it's a championship game, you'll definitely check it out. I like watching talent, and so you like watching greatness. You like people that are good at their craft. If I turn it on and it's bad basketball, then you know you can't watch it very long. But in these moments, it is March Madness, and you get some teams that catch fire, and they're fun to watch.
One other thing, I won't mention that until later. Somebody did mention I hadn't brought up the baseball game too much, JB. 6 o'clock tonight, Colin Fisher on the mound for Arkansas. Is anybody out there upset that the Hogs did not get ranked number one by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association? I don't think it really matters much at all, but it is odd that Arkansas beat the number one team and they are second.
I'll steal a verse from Mike McDaniels. He's like, yeah, I did everything I could to be number one at week 5. You know,
couldn't have said,
give us the trophy now, right?
Couldn't have said it any better. Could not have said it any better. I'm excited. I'm looking. So here's a quick preview of this game here. You got to hit the ball against this pitching staff because ORU has really struggled to keep teams from scoring. Stovall back at second base. I think all eyes will be on Peyton Stovall playing second base. This is where the team has a chance to take a really big jump forward in a way, in an aspect that they usually already are ahead, which is infield play. Second base hasn't been a black hole. It hasn't been a weakness. Got to be better at turning the double play. Putting Stovall in there is going to do exactly that. And now there's a logjam, maybe at third base, maybe in left field, maybe a designated hitter. So seeing who is the DH today with Stovall playing at second base will, I don't know, maybe give you an idea of what Dave is thinking about for this weekend against Missouri. And some of it will also have to do, this is a team that's going to have an opportunity to mix and match up lefties versus righties and vice versa. Because you've got the kind of, and I want to call them a group of backups, because as Dave usually says, right, my backups are just future starters.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's viewing them as starters that didn't get the start that day. There's a lot. You have a great mix between right-handers and left-handers at various positions to where you can mix and match. So depending on who Mizzou starts this weekend, I think maybe you'll see a little mixing and matching. And maybe the idea of potentially a platoon situation.
How good is this team tonight as far as what is their ranking? Are they
Or Roberts?
Yeah, do they got a
the
chance?
RPI?
Well, I'm asking, do they have a chance to like be in a regional? Like, are they? Some of those schools might be all right. You know,
this has been. Oral Roberts has been the best in the Summit League for a long time now.
I thought it's a pretty good team.
They have been the absolute best in their league for a long time. I think they switched over. I don't remember if they're still in the Summit. Yeah, their schedule makes it. They're still in the Summit League. They won 52 games last year. They were the Cinderella in the College World
52
Series.
52 games last year? Wow.
But it's not the same team. They've lost a lot from that ball club.
Okay.
They've lost a lot from them. They're 7-9.
Are they like Kent State was the year before when the football program lost all 11 of their starters to the portal? Do you think that they lost a lot of their guys in the portal?
I don't know exactly. I think a lot of those guys just moved on.
Okay.
I think they were an older team and are either playing pro ball or independent ball somewhere. But I mean, it is a program that has a string of success, and you just sort of expect that they're coming out of the Summit League every year into the NCAA tournament, and that could certainly be the case this year. Like, they were dominant in that league last year. I think they lost one game. Yeah, they were last year 52-14 overall, and in the Summit League, they were 23-1. So sometimes you see a team, like I see this with Joe Foley's Trojans in Little Rock. They'll get trounced in the non-conference, but then they'll go win the regular season in their conference because they play such a tough non-conference schedule. And it's just, he's just like, hey, we're eventually, once we make it to the national tournament, we're probably playing a team like this at some point. So get used to it. That whole, you know, game speed thing we're talking about, get used to this game speed, because SEC game speed's a heck of a lot different than Summit League speed.
Do they get all the bells and whistles that do all these baseball teams playing equal as far as being able to zap the pitch in and stuff? They all have the same equipment?
I guess it all depends. Well, it's available to them. It all depends on whether or not they put the funds towards it.
Okay.
I don't know the situation with the Oral Roberts, whether or not they do it. I would expect most college teams are using this PitchCom thing. But I know Arkansas is one of the only teams that is actually letting the catchers and pitchers work together to call the game independently of the coach.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in MENA and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
We have Bill King from Nashville Sports Radio with us, hosting 6 to 9 WNSR and the King of College Football Talk. We always appreciate your time Tuesdays, Bill. How are you?
That's early 80s MTV Human League.
Bingo! I knew you would know what that was. You remember the name of the song?
I know some of the lyrics, but I don't remember the name.
Fascination. Keep feeling fascination. That was that for some reason I've had that song in my head for the last 3 days. Must be those Casey Kasem shows I keep listening to over and over and over again. Nick Saban is up on the hill today. I don't mean Fayetteville. I mean the hill.
Capitol Hill.
The Capitol Hill. That's right. He's there with the former athletics director. I don't know if I view him this way, but is he like the conscience of college football in some people's eyes now that he's no longer a head coach?
I think you take everybody else combined, they don't have his credibility. That's for sure. If you took all the coaches and you took all the players, nobody sits there with more credibility than he does. So I think, I don't want to say in a de facto way, but yeah. I think he is.
He's at least on the committee. I was talking earlier. Who's somebody you would like to see if Saban was headed up? I told Phil Bob Stoops and Mac Brown kind of had feelings that are feels like that. Who's a couple guys that you would have on the committee?
Well, doesn't have to be a current coach. Mark Richt is a very pragmatic, a reasonable guy. I would have Mark Richt up there too. And is there any, boy, old school? I don't know. You know, Frank Broyles back a few years prior. Not maybe.
Would you want to? What about a guy like Coach K? Would Coach Kisesi be a guy too that could be on the committee even to go basketball?
I think so. I do. I think if we're going to get a basketball guy, I love Jay Wright. Who's now retired and doing TV, but mm-hmm. Jay Wright is a sharp dude, man. That's a guy that I would love to have.
There's a word
as a spokesperson overall.
But there's a word you just used, Bill, that I think is lacking in maybe any of the potential solutions as to what they're trying to talk about under Senator Cruz's roundtable, and it's pragmatism. I just don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if there is a pragmatic solution to all of this. You get Saban saying, well, I'm in favor of revenue sharing, but only if the student athletes are not employees. But I don't know. How does that work? That's the thing. Nothing seems or feels pragmatic at all.
How are we going to mesh the, quote, student athlete with pro sports? Meaning the old way that we're used to meshing with a employee-employer type relationship or somewhere halfway in between it. I don't know that anybody, including the leadership, knows how to do that. And questions like, and I get them on the show all the time, Bill, can they just fire a guy in year three if he's not playing well? Do they get 5 years to play four still? Do you still get a red shirt? Or can a guy, if you're employed, can he stay until he's 30? No idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's like can you just release somebody? You know, now you got to tell him, I don't know if we got a place for you, so – you know, you might want to go right. Look for somewhere else. In the NFL, they just cut you. that's just it.
Right.
You're no longer on the team. Pretty easy thing. You know, but does this get more of your attention now, this kind of grandiose bird's eye view of the mess that is college football or anything going on in the spring right now, you know, amongst the teams that are actually going to play next year, getting some of your attention?
Well, let me say, I think Nick Saban is sincere, but this whole charade I don't think is sincere. And I think it's a photo op. It's a photo op. Hey, we really care. We're up here. I don't think it's much more than that. No. Anything get my attention in the spring? I about 30 years ago, I think I've told you guys this, realized I was sitting at somebody's spring game and realized how useless that day was for me. I'm watching fake football. Now, I understand spring practice and looking at your young guys and developing reps and all that's important, but spring ball has never been a big part of my conscience. Because it's a waste of my time. I'm not learning anything. I'll tell you another angle. Rusty Manziel, and I haven't talked to him about it, was talking the other night from On Three, a friend of mine forever. He thinks they may, with this futuristic look we're thinking about, this pro-type model, he doesn't think we're going to have spring ball anymore. Might be some kind of camp or something, but it won't be spring ball as we know it.
Yeah, if you're not hitting, if it's just glorified Skelly, you know, 7-on-7, what are you really getting out of spring ball? I know Coach Pittman said they're going to hit a little more and tackle a little more, and I like it. I think it's good for the backups. You can kind of get a read on people when you're really tackling and hitting to the ground. So you don't think that – you think in the next 2-3 years there won't be spring ball anymore?
Some kind of OTAs. Now, that's what Rusty was saying. I haven't wrapped my hands around that yet. But he threw that out there, and Rusty is a sharp guy now. He wouldn't just throw spaghetti against the wall and let it see what sticks. He's a sharp guy. But I'd have to pick his brain on where he's getting this.
Are we still in a place where the SEC and Big Ten want the or demanding or putting the proposal forward, or this game of chicken with the other leagues about our conference champions get an automatic bye in the future 14-team playoff, or did they pull that off the table?
I think each league gets a bye and a 14-teamer is tabled for now. I don't think that's all that important at the moment in the pecking order. The money is what's important. You also have to remember that the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is in retaliatory mode right now. This should have been done 2 years ago. They came up with this 12-team model several years ago, and the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 in a snit formed some fake alliance and held everything up. And Sankey's brought this up a couple times already, and I think he's hell-bent on a few things. Now, guys, it's about the money. The buy thing is not all that important yet. And what they're proposing, just to give you an example, and they're probably going to get it, Right now, under the current media agreement for the playoffs, the P5 basically splits 80% of the money equal, meaning Vanderbilt gets the same as Ohio State just by virtue of league affiliation. Doesn't matter whether you're in or not. And it's about $6 million a year. The SEC is proposing, along with the Big Ten, that we get of the $1.3 billion new money, 58% of it, which is about $23 million, which is about four times what they're getting now. And then the ACC and the Big 12 would get about 10 to 13. It'd still be more than what they were getting. And then the rest of it, which is about $110 million, would be split between the G5, et cetera. And I think they're going to get it. It's a huge money thing. That's what this fight's going to be about.
So then what's the point of having a national champion when you have so many, when you have two leagues that are so, that have, look, it's not, the ACC and Big 12 are not like poor people's leagues or anything. They're making plenty of money, but it's just a whole different stratosphere you're talking about here. Because in the professional sports, the teams equally share the national television revenue. I mean, that's what makes them independent businesses. This is what makes college sports so different, is how it's federated, and it's the leagues that are in the independent businesses.
SEC's reply to that question would be cry some more.
that's called retaliatory mode, right? I mean, so this was supposed to happen 10 years ago, so that means that they probably had the idea of 14 teams like 6 or 7 years ago.
It's true. Now, nobody's going to tell you that, but I know it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is, hey, guys, you done screwed around and ticked me off. It's going to be worse than you thought. And, yeah, it'll be, guys, with your conference media agreement, all right, that's separate. Big Ten of the SEC is going to be around 70, 80, 90 each. And now another 25 or so coming from the playoffs. They're going to be bringing in, just by virtue of league affiliation, $100 million. And the ACC, if they still have a deal intact, is going to be getting about 50 total. Maybe 50, maybe not quite 50. And guys, that's if that league holds together in its current form, which it's probably not going to do. And got to remember, ESPN, who owns the rights, media rights to the ACC, has an opt-out clause in 27. And I would think by then Florida State's going to be gone, and that will be a domino effect, and God knows what their deal will be then.
2 years left in the current contract for the playoff, right? And these are the 2 years that you have 12 teams.
Correct.
After these 2 years, when all these negotiations are happening, I guess there's some kind of deadline that's coming up as far as figuring out what the next iteration looks like and how long the contract lasts. I would ask a big question. I don't know if there's an answer to this. What does college football look like in 2 years?
I don't think the ACC looks the same. I don't think it implodes like the Pac-12, but I think it's fractured and it's weakened. And we will be in a 14-team playoff after 25. You can book that. What the business model will look like, I think it's very unclear. I don't think they even know what the business model is going to look like. I do know, back to the big money grab I was talking about, some of that, if not a big chunk of it, is the SEC and the Big Ten bracing for sharing media rights money. Now, what percentage and all that still to be fought. They don't probably want to do it, but I think part of that big grab is the universities guys are going to be paying the players direct. That will happen. That's going to happen probably in the next year or two. And I think some of this big money grab would be bracing for that.
Hey, before we let you go, have you had any eyes on any college baseball yet? I know you're probably, all things being equal, you'll watch the college baseball game over a basketball game.
Yeah, I've watched just casually quite a bit. And there's a lot of SEC teams looking good. The only problem is, guys, and you know this, until we get into intra-league play, which is this week coming up, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we know. We know Arkansas's really good. We know they're a top couple, 1-2-3 team, right? We know LSU, Tennessee, all those Florida's good. But until we start matching up, I don't think we know how we separate out yet.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.